Hi, Bob. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Matt. I think that's a little better. It's only about a two-second delay. Now we've whittled it down a little bit. Can you hear me? Yeah, I don't know what the deal is, my friend. We got three different broadcast locations here, yours, mine, and through Jim Cushlin in Toledo. So thanks so much, Matt, for spending the time. I just gave a pretty lengthy description of the situation in Cleveland with respect to the quarterbacks and the perceived rift between the locker room and Josh McCown, or at least the offensive players and Josh McCown. Mike Pettine, the head coach, went to great pains. And, Jim, I don't know if you still have that audio, but to say that, no, there is no rift here, there's no truth to that at all. Some of the players have come out and said there's no truth to that at all. What are you hearing from your sources inside there in Cleveland, and what is your impression of that TMZ report?
Well, Bob, I mean, I think everybody's been pretty blunt about it in terms of saying, you know, we didn't say it. And, you know, we talked to so many players over the course of the last few days from – you know, obviously Joe Thomas was kind of the first one to come out and speak his mind on it too.
Right.
You know, even McCown himself. And in my opinion, I do think it's a situation where there is some dissension. I will be perfectly honest. Now, I don't think the dissension is quite as animated, if you will, as TMZ is making it out to be. I think that everybody there has an opinion. And, you know, watching the first half of that game Sunday with Josh McCown missing wide receivers, missing, you know, what should have been, I don't want to say easy throws, but makeable throws for a player who's been in the league that long and has been, you know, in training camp all summer with the Browns. I think that there was a sense of frustration in that locker room. A lot of the players left very quickly on Sunday after the game. It was very quiet, of course, if you will. But, you know, I think in the long run, you're exactly right. We all knew that Johnny Manziel is going to play at some point in 2015. It's just a matter of when, and, you know, as we wrote at NEO Sports Insiders today, it feels like, and I know you're probably on board with this theory, that the Browns are kind of back to square one with this entire situation with Josh McCown, because they know that long-term he's not the answer. They know long-term he's not going to turn into a top NFL quarterback. It just doesn't happen. If it would have happened, it would have already happened by now. So why not just at this point say, hey, we're going to let the young kid play. We've got to see what we have in him from a standpoint of viability to either make a trade with him maybe in the offseason or make him the long-term starter. And, you know, Josh seems very comfortable in his role as a mentor to Johnny Manziel. So why not go that route and make him the mentor now and let Johnny have his growing pains, as he probably should have already had by now, even though he's not had that full opportunity. And let's just get this over with already, because week after week after week, it's the biggest, most engrossing storyline, if you will, with this franchise. And until they get it right, they're not going to compete at a high level.
Yeah, I completely agree. And let's go back to the rift in the dissension. Mike Pettine is going out of his way to say that I'm confident after talking to the veterans in our locker room that there is no issue. He has not issued a flat denial and saying that no player said what was reported in that article, in that TMZ right. post. He just said, I'm confident that there's no issue. And that could very well mean that nobody said anything and there's nobody has an issue with Josh. Or it could mean we're dealing with it. We're dealing with it, and we know how to deal with it, and there won't be an issue going forward. So what is your sense about that aspect of it? And again, I know that Andrew Hawkins said it's not true. Joe Thomas said it's not true. But if you're an anonymous player giving a quote that is as explosive as those three quotes were to a reporter from anywhere, from TMZ or from the Plain Dealer or the Toledo Blade, if you're given an anonymous quote about how unhappy you are with your offense and its quarterback, you're probably not doing it within earshot of your teammates. You know, so those
right.
who are issuing the denials that it's happening, you know, can do so very plausibly because they didn't hear it, but it doesn't mean it wasn't said.
No, and I agree with you, and I'm looking at the story that, you know, we wrote late last night about Evan Rosenblum, who is who is one of the executive producers at TMZ, who fired off a tweet yesterday basically saying, in regards to the Browns, we stand by our story, period, three Browns starters, real quotes, nothing fabricated. And, you know, I know TMZ is TMZ. You know, I know that there is a sense that they are sort of on the, some people believe that TMZ is the Weekly World News, but I'll be perfectly honest, when they come out with stories that are this, I guess, explosive, if you will, you know, I've never caught them to be totally fabricated. I can't believe that there's not some sort of legal responsibility on their end to say, hey, we have to at least be honest in our reporting. And I know that, again, that this could be, you know, very, it's a gray area because anybody on the internet can say anything they want, but, you know, TMZ is...
Especially if you're not, especially if you're not attaching a name to it, if they're saying anonymous,
right,
I don't think
exactly.
there is any legal recourse.
Right. And, you know, I heard you say the thing about Tiger Woods, and they've gotten a number of stories right. You know, they had the the JPP story in New York with his finger situation. They had that exactly as it stands. And
So
I do believe that somebody said these quotes to them. I don't know who it is. I mean, nobody seems to know. And it seems to me like when we were there yesterday and today that every possible person could have been asked about it. But I think at the end of the day, Bob, it may have come out late Sunday. You know, the players might have been frustrated when they said it. Maybe they got behind closed doors the next day and thought to themselves, gee, maybe I should take a step back before I speak in the future. I do think, though, as I said earlier, that these quotes in some regard are real. I do believe that these players are frustrated right now, and I believe there needs to be a better sense of direction with this organization, because my concern is you're going to have mutiny at some point, because if this team continues to go further into the tank, and if they lose the next two, which is San Diego and the Ravens, and they're 1-4, it's going to be the all over again syndrome. You know how it is here. You know how these things tend to manifest itself. And I think if you're the Browns right now, you got to find a way, whether it's, you know, get your defense better, which is another story in itself. You know, find a way making big plays on special teams. You've got to do something to win this Sunday in San Diego and kind of put things to rest, at least for 1 week. Because,
right. As
I said, this story will be the biggest story all season long until finally Mike Pettine and you know, these other players stand at the podium and say, Johnny's our guy. And until that happens, every single week it's going to get discussed, no matter how good or bad McCowan plays, until this thing is made official that Johnny's going to be the guy.
Right. And just to clarify, too, TMZ executive producer Evan Rosenblum, that you were talking about, did say a little over an hour ago on Twitter, they stand by their story, period.
Right.
Three Browns, this is a quote, R.E. Browns, we stand by our story, period. Three Brown starters, period. Real quotes, period. Nothing fabricated, period. And I got to tell you, given the complexity of the quotes and given the fact that all three of the individuals involved were reportedly starters, I think to just sit back and write creative fiction like that is something that a website that has earned some bona fides, if you will, for the reports that they've gotten right that we talked about before, would be a good way to lose your site, to lose your visitorship, you know, your clicks and all of the advertising
Absolutely.
That you get on this. I can't imagine they would roll the dice for something as dumb and as really, I mean, honestly, Matt, on an NFL scale, as minor as the Browns are. You know, this isn't Deflategate. This isn't a Giants player blowing his fingers off. This is a quarterback controversy, if you want to call it that, for one of the worst teams in the league. I can't imagine they would put their burgeoning, growing reputation as newsbreakers on the line by sitting around and just saying, let's make some crap up about a crappy team and a crappy couple of quarterbacks. I don't buy it for a second. I believe it was said,
right.
And I think
right.
Mike Pettine is doing everything he can to kind of control it.
No, and I agree with you, Bob, and you're right. You know, we, of course, here in Cleveland think that the Browns are the biggest thing in the world, and, you know, rightfully so. There are fans that, you know, invest their lives into this football team. But on a global scale, even on a national scale, the Cleveland Browns are nowhere near, you know, the big name that we obviously think that they are here. I mean, here it's fine, but elsewhere, you're right. So why would TMZ put themselves out on a limb and make up this, quote-unquote, make up this story if they didn't have the truth behind it? That's why I'm in agreement with you. There is too much to be said for that website and that company. They definitely have the quotes. And I'm sure that, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know if we'll ever find out who said these things or not, but at the end of the day, I think you'll find out that these quotes are going to end up being true. So I think, unfortunately, for the Browns, they keep finding themselves in this mess week after week, as I keep saying.
I think we'll find out who said these things, but only after those players retire. And I mean that very
Probably.
Literally,
right.
because TMZ certainly isn't going to give up the source, or else they'll never get anybody to talk to them again off the record. And the player isn't going to do it, because even if they're traded, they're never going to be trusted in their own locker room if they're talking to a TMZ or anybody else, even if it's the New York Times, about their own teammates in such a way. So they'll never be trusted again. So this is something that'll probably never be known, like I said, until these guys retire, and then and only then, maybe if somebody somebody wants to say, yeah, I remember that 15 years ago I said this. That's about the only way it's going to go. And you know what, Matt, is the worst part about it for me if I'm the Browns and if I'm Mike Pettine? Wasn't the stuff about Josh McCown. It wasn't the, hey, we play better for Johnny. I play better for Johnny. I think he should be playing. To me, it is the blatant disrespect for the head coach to challenge him in such a way. Come on, coach, do the right thing. Put him in, or however those, whatever those exact quotes were. I don't have them back in front of me now. I think that is the worst part about this, the disrespect for Mike Pettine, in which they say, coach needs to trust Johnny as much as he does Josh. Do the right thing and play this guy. That's what would trouble me if I'm Pettine.
Exactly. And again, Mike Pettine has been thrown so far under the eight ball from, you know, coming in late as the head coach of this organization a year ago, you know, when it seemed like he was the, what, fifth or sixth guy that they obviously wanted to bring in as far as the head coach goes, to all the stuff with Ray Farmer and the texting and everything like that, and just being undermined. If I'm Mike Pettine, I'm getting probably tired of it at this point, because I do like Mike Pettine as a coach, Bob. I think that he's done as good of a job as he's going to do with the talent.
I don't know if they buy into him, though, Matt.
I really don't know if they buy into him because I think,
like I said, can you imagine this happening to virtually any other coach in the NFL? I can't imagine that. Player one said, coach has got to understand, you're messing up the chemistry. Player number two said, we won when he played, and coach has got to trust him like he trusts Josh. Player number three said, coach has got to make the change now. That's three guys challenging Pettine's authority. I don't think they're buying into this guy as much as a nice, and I think he's a great guy, and I think he's a good defensive coach. I don't know that they're buying into him and his leadership, and I think these quotes kind of prove that. And, Matt, unfortunately, I got to let it go there. Read Matt Lodi and his site, which is neosportsinsiders.com. You also catch his work on the radio for the Associated Press out of Cleveland. Matt, thank you so much for your time. We always appreciate the insight and analysis. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you, Bob. God bless. Appreciate it.